created within that birth. There was this, he was before a very, let me say, a man, before he was Prahlad, this conditioned part was a man who enjoyed a relationship with one prostitute, but they broke up and both of them became very saintly being in the next life. So that next life was Prahlad Maharaj. So Prahlad is two. He is an eternally liberated soul, and then there is also the human aspect of a struggling soul was there, but in the birth of the birth of Prahlad Maharaj, he is a totally perfect soul. Right from the beginning on, he's not like us, who is has one history before Krishna consciousness, and then another history that they become devotees. It's not like this. We hear that even in the womb of his mother, he was receiving instructions of Narad Muni, and he kept these instructions to his heart and always lived by them. But according to this, I think it's from the Nrisimha Purana, and it's authorized for Vaishnavas also, there's this other aspect, and that makes him so endearing, that makes him so, let us say, lovable, that makes him so relatable to us, that in his previous life he was struggling with attachments. So in this way he is a little bit closer to us. If someone is just a totally liberated soul, that is so beyond our possibility to understand. I mean, a liberated soul does not react with the senses of the mind the way we are interacting and sometimes influenced. Yes, another question is there?
Not online,
but in the audience. Good. Hare Krishna, Vaidyanath. We will give you a microphone.
Yeah, I keep hearing the story that Prahlad Maharaj in his previous life, he coincidentally, during a night after a festival, he stayed in a Nrisimha temple and fasted throughout the night on one Ekadasi date. What are the exact details of the story? Do you remember?
Yeah. He had a relationship, as we heard in the question, with one woman who was not a married relationship, and they made an appointment to meet for a romantic meeting, but they were late, and they met in a forest, right? They met, under the old tree near the river, just in a place in the forest. And somehow, when they met, they began to quarrel with each other. It was something went totally bad in the relationship. And there was no commencement of their lusty desires. No, they were absolutely not. They didn't come together. So then, Prahlad, in his previous life, his name was known to me. It started with V. He went in the forest, totally distraught. They didn't eat. He didn't eat anything. They had brought a picnic, but because they quarreled so bad. No one had appetite. He had no appetite. She had no appetite. And they started to walk through the forest separately. And then night came to make things worse. They were lost in the forest. To look for shelter, they came in a building where they were separately trying to sleep. So both of them were so much disturbed by what happened that they quarreled so bad that they were just wanting to have a nice meeting. But they started to cry, but in separate parts of the buildings. It was almost, he cried there and she cried, I mean, not in the temple room, but in one place of the building. It was a big building, and he cried in another corner of the building. And they heard in the night, they were crying. Someone was crying. It was so dark, they couldn't. They just stayed and tried to sleep, and in the morning they met, and it turned out both of them had come to the same building. They made up. They didn't do anything foolish, but they made up, and it turned later out that they were born as a king and a queen. Why? Because, and they were very devoted. And why? Because they were, she was, sorry, what I told you had happened in the appearance day of Shigeri, that's in the night. They stayed in an old temple. This was a temple with ruins. An old temple, they stayed there, and they spent the night there. And in this way, all these... And they fasted. They didn't eat because they were angry. So in this way, three powerful Agyata Sukritis came together. The appearance day of Lord Nisinga day, not eating, on Nishina, on the day they fasted, without knowing that it was the day, without intending to observe a holy festival day. And the third, which was there, the third thing is they stayed in an ancient building. This is Agyata Sukriti. It's a very powerful proof that bhakti works even despite our own disqualifications. And a little while ago, I gave a lecture on the life of Bilwa Mangala Thakur. I think you all remembered that Bilwa Mangala was a man overwhelmed by lust, who, despite, although he was married, left his married wife and began to associate with Chintamani, a prostitute on the other side of the river. So you all know the story, and you know that they met one night, because Bilwa Mangala had hurt his body in order to get to Chintamani, they had very serious discussions. They sang about Krishna. She knew how to sing very nicely. And in the morning, Bilwa Mangala decided to go away from his former life. He took shelter in the ashram of Somagiri, and there became a greatly great soul. Chintamani, on the other side, on the other hand, went to Haridwar. So the question which you might ask is, how could a man like Bilwa Mangala who was a rich person, a sense enjoyer, who had betrayed his wife to stay with Chintamani. How could he, you know, turn around and become a saint? How could Chintamani turn around and become a saintly lady? What went on? I mean, it's so hard for us sometimes. And listen to the explanation. Bilba Mangala in a previous life was actually a sannyasi who fed devotees. That was his service. He arranged bandaras, devotees, devotee meals. So one day he wanted to actually serve other sannyasis, but he had no money. So he was there in his ashram and he said, I want so badly to cook something and serve these saintly devotees, but I have no money. How can I get money? And it happened that at that time a procession went by. They carried, the people carried the dead body of a princess who had just died. Bilba Mangala joined the procession as a sannyasi in his previous life, and so there are so many jewels, so much gold in the dead body. And he thought, if this jewels and gold are useless, it's decorations of a dead body, she is not profiting from this, no one profits from this. But I could take, if I could just take these jewels and this gold, I could feed so many devotees. So this princess was quite young, and when princesses die so young, they're given samadhi, they're not burned, they're put under the earth. So he saw this, he watched it, and he said to himself, I will come back in the evening. When there was no one there, he dug open the grave to get to the gold. He wanted to do so much service. He was almost like a painting distributor who goes through everything just to sell the paintings. Maybe, you know, we have seen such things also in our movement. So it's a human impulse to somehow do everything for one's cherished goal. You know? So he while he was digging, he heard the voice of the princess. Don't do this! This is obnoxious! And you are also sannyasi. What are you doing? Digging the earth away from a woman who is dark. But I understand you have a good motive. I tell you, you can get your gold. You go to my father. You tell him that at the bed where I used to sleep, under the bed, there is some wood. He should open the wood, and there are two big pieces of gold. I tell them that I said, after my death, I instructed you, take this and do your prasadam distribution. So he went to the king and said, I'm sorry, but your prince, your daughter, is she alive? Is she alive? No, she's dead. But and what are you telling? She said she has some gold for me. It's under the head end of the bed. You just open the foot on the floor and you get the gold. So first he didn't want to do it, but then he thought, I love my daughter so much. And I mean, if this is her wish, if she's somewhere now, let us check if this is true. So So he opened the floor at the place which was designated, found the gold, and said, "Well, my daughter has given this sannyasi money like this, even after her death. She has lived on to tell this." So he gave the gold. So this sannyasi spent all the gold to feed saints, but soon it was gone. There are so many. So he thought, "I know where to get more gold." And he went a second time, took a second time the earth away, and this time she said, "This is too much. I will curse you for this offense, that you will take birth as a rich man." "Oh no, I just wanted to feed devotees." "But you went over your limits. But because you had a good intention, I will also take birth and I will be together with you. We will have a romantic relationship for some time." No, you and me, there is some karma. We will live this karma. I will be Chintamani. You will be known as Silhana Mishra." That was the name of Bilba Mangal Lataku when he was a Brahmana. "We will spend some time. Our karma will be gone. And I will help you to go back home, back to Godhead. Because I will give you an instruction." So she was a powerful princess, a great devotee, apparently. And a great devotee, I don't want to say it in this, a great, you know, had a lot of oversight. She could see a lot of things. And yes, so it came that they met again in their next life. This time he was Silhana Mishra, not yet Bilba Mangala Thakur. That's a name he got later. And he met Chintamani, who was a lady of the art of deception. I don't want to say something, it's a heavy word here for her. But she was also a great Krishna bhakta. Yes, in Calcutta you also find a very famous prostitute who built a beautiful temple for Madan Mohan in Calcutta. So, they were not so low class as today. It was a different culture, different civilization. Agyata Sukriti, he had done service in his previous life. He had also done a mistake by digging up the grave twice. Because he had done these good things, it came. So that is how we all start in Krishna consciousness. We somehow come in contact with something auspicious. We eat prasadam, we sing in a kirtan, we are obtaining a book from Srila Prabhupada, and at that time we are not yet devotees. We do not know about it. The benefit of bhakti. We may even struggle against it, but because bhakti is so strong that anyone who comes in contact, even unknowingly, they got it. So this part of the not liberated soul in Prahlad that had this contact with bhakti. He had fasted without his desire on Nrisimha Chaturdasi. He had visited Nrisimha's old broken down temple. There was no deity on the altar, and that's why he then came and got a chance to in a way come to Prahlad Maharaj, the liberated soul, jump, so to say, into that incarnation, or join that being here on this earth in a body, and then yes, becoming also liberated. When we hear these scriptural stories, some of them are really very surprising, like the story I just now told you. When you hear such stories, or when you hear the descriptions of the universe, how there are four elephants carrying the four directions, and when you hear the Puranic view of our life and our world, it's very different than what you have learned in school, and sometimes very different from what you see with these eyes. It's very important at that time that you understand the principles behind it. That is, in the story I just narrated of one previous birth and the Agyata Sukriti, the two stories, is that any contact with Krishna consciousness is so powerful. This should bring us to the conclusion that let me increase my contact with Krishna consciousness. Let me increase my contact with chanting. Let me increase my contact with the devotees. Let me increase my respectfully honoring prasadam. It doesn't necessarily mean the quantity needs to be increased in terms of prasadam, but my approach to prasadam, my respect of prasadam. Let me increase, because as Prahlad said, this human form of life in which we are now is very valuable. It's very brief, and we have little time to be absorbed in Krishna consciousness. So let me increase these moments. When I do japa, let me be alert and say, wow, I wish to really now go a little bit deeper into the japa. When we are with devotees, let me give my best to have a meaningful Krishna conscious interaction that is helpful for the other person. And in this way, we are concluding when we hear about the power even which works even though we are not aware of it or conscious of it. It's Agyata Sukriti, and we increase it. Thank you, Vajana, for the question and giving me an opportunity to bring out a principle, a higher principle of Krishna consciousness. Yes. Munindra. Munindra. Yes.
Thank you, Maharaj, for a very nice. My question would be, so far I can remember the Bhagavatam was described the story about Prahlad Maharaj, when Prahlad Maharaj was going after the death of Hiranyakashipu to somebody, and I think he was offering obeisances, and then the somebody picked him up, take him to his head, and then after it, the somebody did his lotus hands to his head. And so far I can remember that it's described as, but then all parts or small rests of parts of I don't know, some reflections, but arguments in Prahlad Maharaj was gone. So far I can remember if it's sorry what was discovered in the Bhagavatam. Please, when you can maybe explain some details to these parts when we should be blessed.
Yes, after the Lord Nrisimhadev had destroyed Hiranyakashipu, basically, he was very angry. You know, when he had, Nrisimha Purana describes, when he had ripped open Hiranyakashipu, and just, you know, imagine this amount of anger. He took out the intestines and garlanded himself. He was really angry. For a short moment, Hiranyakashipu was not visible, but then what remained of him fell out of the nails of Nrisimhadev, like ashes coming. For when you have too long nails and some dirt is there. So in this way, he was so angry. And then the ashes of Hiranyakashipu came out from his nails. He was really angry, but that was not the end. Then all the powerful armies of Hiranyakashipu attacked Nrisimhadeva. After all, they were, as our Maharaji has explained to us, they were maintained also, they were soldiers, and they had given their oath. May our blood mingle, we are dying for Hiranyakashipu. They were his men. Schwurmänner, durch Eide gebunden. So they were attacking Lord Nrisimhadeva. And Lord Nrisimhadeva became very angry. His form grew. Many, many arms came and he just devoured them and crushed them. And like a lion, if you have ever looked into the eyes of a lion who attacks, you will never want to do it again. It looks so frightening. I once did this with Bhakti Vikyan Goswami Maharaj. You know, the lion. We just came to watch lions, but then we made a mistake and the lion became agitated. He started to rock our car and we wanted to attack and we looked into his eyes. I'm still traumatized if I think of this. It is so wild. It's so wild, so frightening. So he was like this. And the Devatas saw Nrisimhadeva and they could not look at him. He was just too much to look at him. And how will we pacify him? The whole universe will burn if that's the anger of God. Lord. Then Brahma said, Prahlad, he appeared before the view. And first they said, you go and listen to some devil. I'm not going. Then they said, Lakshmi, you are his wife. I'm not going. He's so angry. Then they said, Prahlad, you go. And Prahlad went fearlessly to the Lord. It said, the lion is very frightful to everyone, but not to its child, the baby cub. So Prahlad went like this, and when Lord Nrisimhadeva saw Prahlad, he immediately calmed down. He was a child, 5 years. He calmed down. Anger came down, and he blessed Prahlad, he put his hand on his head, he touched his head, and all knowledge came into Prahlad, so therefore he could offer the prayers. Prabhupada spoke about this once in Mayapur, and he explained that the touch of the hand of Nrisimhadeva on Prahlad gave Prahlad Maharaj, that was a blessing. And he said, anyone who chants Hare Krishna without offenses experiences also the touch of the Lord on his head. The episode where we hear Prahlad Maharaj was lifted on the Lord's lap, that is from Brihad Bhagavatamrita. That is not described in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Yeah, but that's the detail. He did it nevertheless. And yes, that is what I know. Munindra Prabhu, I'm personally very careful to not speak or think about if there were any impurities of Prahlad Maharaj, which then went away. I don't think that is a good way to approach this Leela. He was the dearest devotee, the perfect devotee. We never hear of anything in his as a child where he played like normal children do. No, he was a child. He would always sit under a tree and meditate about the Lord. He was Krishna consciousness from the beginning. And even though we heard from another Purana that there was also a conditioned soul residing, I think that that soul must have gotten already full purity of that part when he was with this extraordinary devotee. I was very happy when our Kadama Kanara Maharaj said, for us, Prahlad is very, very important. And in my own preparation for this day, I have decided to stand behind Prahlad and offer prayers from that position. And spiritually, no? There is one indication in the Bhagavatam which shows that Prahlad was very, very, very exalted, because in one verse it says, Shri Hiranyakashipu Ovacha. Shri. Shri is the most respectful term you can think of. Shri means, when we say Shri Krishna, we mean there is Radharani, who is the ultimate goddess of Shri Lakshmi. Now when we say Sri Krishna Sankirtan, not just Krishna Sankirtan, then we want to say that this is the kirtan of Radharani. The mood of Vrindavan is in that kirtan. No? So Shri is a very respectful obeisance address. When we say Shri Munindra, it means, wow, you have a lot of respect. Or we say in Vaishnava terms, Shripad. No? Shripad. It's his lotus feet are worshipable. We say like this. So why do we say Shri Hiranyakashipu Vacha? He's not worshipable. He is a Hiranyakashipu. Very much against the Brahminical culture and so on. And the explanation is Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur gives why in this verse that it says Sri Hiranyakashipu Uvacha is because he was fortunate, he was blessed, because his son was Prahlad. Therefore, blessed Hiranyakashipu, you are blessed. You did so many things wrong in your life. I mean, he really was a bad asura, but you had a devotee, son, and in order to save that devotee, God appeared and he took care of you. Hiranyakashipu was virtually no one was able to finish him, to finish his reign of terror. He was just so powerful because he was protected by these amazing blessings. And we know, even ontologically, he is in a side of him, is a Vaikuntha person, an associate of Lord Narayan, a powerful person. Imagine he can be acts out the role of the life of a devil, a demon. Hiranyakashipu, I heard this from Kripa Moya, had a pillar before his palace. That was the pillar in question. And this pillar was carved as a Steinmetzarbeit. There were the faces of all powerful people of the universe which he had defeated. He liked to go by. Oh yes. He slept and killed him. It's almost like a powerful materialist. He will have pictures of his enemies whom he defeated, or where he became more rich. And that he had this pillar. there was only one face missing on that pillar, and that face was the expanding face of Lord Narasimha Dev. He came out of that pillar, and Hiranyakashipu saw that ultimate face who was met defeat. Again, what is the principle here? What do we learn for our life? I'm really thinking Prahlad's greatness is there. The Lord loves if we praise His devotees. So Prahladji, when I arrived here, one small boy came to me to greet me. He was Sri Prahlad, son of Amara. I will speak about the real Prahlad.